Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we have the one, the only, the incredible Ambassador Nikki Haley. Quite a lineup of guests we have recently on the Charlie Kirk Show. Make sure you go back and you listen to Governor Noem, Candace Owens, Donald Trump Jr., and much more. What better way to spend your quarantine than listening to the conservative movement's top leaders talk about issues that affect each and every single one of you? You guys are going to enjoy this interview, but before we get started, make sure you are subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us those 5-star reviews. Those help us more than you can imagine. We can surge in the charts and beat Joe Biden. Also, feel free to email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, with questions you want me to ask our guests, feedback, and anything in between. freedom@charliekirk.com. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. We are beyond blessed and honored to have the amazing Ambassador Nikki Haley with us, second time joining the Charlie Kirk Show. First time was at our Turning Point USA Young Women's Leadership Summit. She is an amazing role model for so many people across this country, including our young conservative women leaders at Turning Point USA. Ambassador, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. First, I just have to ask, how are you holding up in this quarantine? I'm sure you're keeping very busy, and you've never seen anything quite like this.
Well, Charlie, it's great to be with you. And, you know, we're doing like everybody else. It's been an odd time. We've been down in South Carolina for the last 6.5 weeks. And, you know, my parents live with us. They're in their 80s. And so we wanted to get them out of New York really quickly. Nayland, as you know, is a senior in high school and his prom was canceled. We don't know if he's going to have a graduation. They don't know if they're going to have a fall semester. So, you know, there's a little bit of anxiety with that. Our daughter is a nursing student and, you know, she had to stop doing clinicals and just go to classes online. And so it's been an odd time for everybody. But you know what I do know is when all this is said and done, the American public, we're going to come out of this stronger, smarter, and more ready for the next time a crisis happens. It's what we do. It's who we are. And so while it's been an interesting time, you know, the way I look at it is this is God's way of telling us to take a breath, appreciate family, appreciate friends, and appreciate life. And so hopefully everybody has done that. But certainly there's going to be a lot of pain in our country in the coming days. Together, we'll get through this.
That's a wonderful take. And I like many other people in this country, look to, you know, people like you for inspiration as a role model. And, you know, you've been a governor of a state and you fought for our country on the world stage. And so now I want to kind of focus on that. You have a new effort, which I am 100% behind. And everyone listening to this podcast and everyone watching this video should go sign the petition and get engaged and get involved. And this is one of the most important fights now, I think, for our generation, which is the fight against communist China. Can you share with us the effort that you are leading, the link for people that want to get involved with it, and also just more broadly, how critical it is that we stand up against communist China?
Absolutely. Charlie, I've been talking about China for a few years now, saying it is our number one national security threat. And so with Stand for America, we wanted to do something that was really going to get the public's attention, but more get Congress to stop talking and getting them to start doing. So we started this petition. You can go to stopcommunistchina.com and sign up. And basically the petition says that America needs to start doing these things. One is we need to hold China accountable for the virus. What did they know? When did they know it? And how are we going to make sure we hold them accountable for what has happened? Two, we need to make sure that we have all medical supplies and pharmaceuticals and the production of those moved back to the United States. We don't ever need to be dependent on China, and we can't do that soon enough. Thirdly, we need to treat China like the second largest economy that it is. Right now, in every multilateral organization, including the United Nations, they pay developing country dues, which is a joke. They need to start paying the amounts that the United States is paying if they're going to try and be this world power and do what they're doing. They've been bullying Taiwan for a long Taiwan. We continue to see them do that. We want to support Taiwan. Let's support them getting on the World Health Organization. They were the ones that called out the World Health Organization first on December 30th and said, we know there's human-to-human transmission, and no one listened to them. They need to be a member of the World Health Organization, and China has stopped them from doing that. And finally, we need to ask all colleges and universities how much money they are taking from China and what they are giving in return. This is the first line of defense that we have to do. And so that's what the petition does. So the petition, you're not just going and signing the petition. We are already in contact with congressional members, asking them to sponsor legislation. And we're going to track this all the way through so that we can actually see this take place. Charlie, the one thing I want people to understand is this is bigger than the virus. China has been an aggressor and a bully for a long time. And the United States has been naive for way too long. Just to give you an example, in the past month where every country in the world stood still, every country has tried to survive and take care of their people. Do you know what China's been doing? They have been highly aggressive in the South China Sea, where a third of our shipping takes place. They have been arresting Hong Kong protesters that were speaking negatively about China. They have been testing nuclear weapons, going against the nuclear testing ban. This is all stuff they've done in the last month. So while everyone else is trying to survive, they have not let off the gas. It's time for us to be smart. It's time for us to call them out. And it's time for us to do something about it. And that's what we hope the petition does.
This is music to my ears. I have talked about for some time how we need to be skeptical and we need to be very firm. And now I have called for the complete and total shutdown of economic relations with China, with some people saying that goes too far. You accurately point out that their aggression in the South China Sea, they have 1 million Muslims in concentration camps. They harvest the organs of anyone that they choose at any time. It is one of the most hostile countries in the world to Christianity. They have the Belt and Road Initiative. They have bought up ports of entry in sub-Saharan Africa and South America. They look at the world as if it's their imperial sandbox, and they have a total disregard for human rights. And thank you for standing up for what was right on the UN Security Council, in the United Nations, where it's like the den of lions against America. It's basically we pay them so they can hate us. Do you guys want to lose weight and get in shape? Have you guys been putting on a couple extra pounds during the quarantine? There's a way to get in shape, and it doesn't have to be about losing a specific amount of weight or a magic number. That's why I want to talk to you about Noom. N-O-O-M. Noom is about setting physical goals, psychological goals, and social goals. You can integrate Noom into your life. You trust yourself to make good choices. It has the ability to make healthy choices easier and to understand your thought patterns better, with a stronger sense of self-worth, a better mood, with less stress and anxiety. Use specific lessons you learned about psychology of your habits with the easy just 10 minutes a day. That's it. That's what Noom is able to bring to the table. We know everyone is different, so Noom adjusts to your lifestyle. They teach you the psychology behind the decisions you make so that you're able to be stronger, better, and in better shape. Noom is the habit-changing solution that helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. It's based in psychology. Noom teaches you why you do the things you do and empowers you the tools you need to break bad habits and replace them with better ones. Noom is not a diet. It's a healthy and easy to stick to way of life. No food is good or bad or off limits. Noom teaches moderation and can be used in conjunction with many pre-existing popular diets if you want. We're all strapped for time. Noom just asks you to commit 10 minutes a day for yourself. You're human. If you go off track, there's no shaming. Just tips to help you get back on track tomorrow. Go with your goal specialist and Noom community to get and give help to get people through the same things. You don't have to all change it one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/Charlie. That's Noom.com/Charlie. What do you have to lose except wait? Noom can help you get there. Noom.com/Charlie. Noom.com/Charlie. That's Noom.com/Charlie. But here's a question I have for you, Ambassador. You had a wonderful op-ed recently in the last couple months where you said free enterprise is the answer, socialism is not. A question I get a lot as I call for the discontinuation of trade with China is they say, well, Charlie, aren't you a free trade guy? Aren't you someone who believes in free enterprise? My answer is, look, I'm a patriot before I believe in free enterprise and capitalism. And I go to the model that we use of the Soviet Union, which is we have to stop making them rich and we have to stop believing that the more we trade with them, somehow they're going to have some sort of Western democracy revival. That's just not going to happen. What is your answer, Ambassador, to some of the people on the more purest free market arena or community, of which I'm mostly sympathetic with, where they say, no, you can't stop trading with them. That would only make things worse. What would your answer be to some of those people?
Well, look, I believe in capitalism. I believe in free trade, but I'm not stupid, right? So this is what I'll tell you. Should we trade with China? I'm not of the belief we have to stop all trade with China, but we need to be smart. It needs to be advantageous to us. We need to make sure that we're getting something out of it. We don't need to be a donor to China. We don't need to help them along the way. If we've got the majority of our pharmaceuticals being made over there, it takes 1 second for them to suddenly hold us hostage on that. We don't need to do that. And so if they're cheating when it comes to intellectual property, let's throw more tariffs on them. Let's sanction them. That's what we would do to any other country that's not behaving. So let's not be stupid. This is common sense. We can trade to a point that it's beneficial to us. The second it stops being beneficial to us, we need to change the way we're doing it.
That is really well put. And I feel as if, to your previous comments, there's a group of people that have benefited far too much with the relationship of the Chinese Communist Party. And I'll just use, you know, a Democrat figure, Mike Bloomberg. You can't, no matter what, you can never get him to say something negative about the Chinese Communist Party. And it's revealed that a lot of the Bloomberg technology and business relationships are intertwined with the Chinese Communist government. And so it's going to take a decoupling of a lot of the ruling class to put our country above the relationship with their communist regime.
What a lot of people don't know is President Xi, a couple of years ago, started a commission that he chairs. And it basically says any company that does business in China has to cooperate with the Chinese military. Now, think about our tech companies. Think about the data they have on all of us. And now know that the Chinese military can demand it and have access to it. What do we think about that? So for these companies that are doing business in China, especially in the tech field, this has got to stop being about the dollars and cents, and it has to start being about national security. And that's why every company that's doing business in China, we need to know as Americans what they're doing, what they're giving, and what of our personal information do they have that is being given to the Chinese military.
That's spot on. You mentioned college campuses. A huge threat that I have been trying to call out through one of our efforts is the rise of these Confucius Institutes on college campuses, which Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, has called one of the most dangerous, subtle encroachments on our sovereignty from the Chinese Communist Party. I believe all the institutes should be shut down. There's very, very suspicious activity happening. Server rooms that are being built, Chinese military officials that have been there. Can you comment on the Confucius Institutes, your experience with them as governor, if at all, and how you think we should approach it? Because most of this audience go to college campuses where they might have some of them at their school.
Well, I actually, at the United Nations, I met with a group of university professors and presidents. And what I told them was, be very careful about having any of these things on your campus, because what they are doing is they are using these as spies. They go in, find out all the information. These students don't come here because China is generous. These students come here with a job. Their job is to report back everything they see and they hear and send it back to China. And that includes any research that they may see in research institutions within the college campuses. It also includes any sort of technology that they see. They have to send that back to China. So I was telling these presidents, you need to be very careful. It's not worth the money you're taking for what you're doing when it comes to national security. And it's interesting, the comments from the presidents were, but shouldn't we help the Chinese people understand democracy? We are long past that. This is a communist country. They don't care anything about democracy except for trying to get into our heads and see how we think and see how we react to things. And it is foolish. And they say, but our students get to go to China and they learn so much. Do you know what happens to our students that go to China? They're spied on. Their computers are spied on. Their cell phones are spied on. They can see, hear everything that they're doing. There's no good that comes out of this. I mean, it's like having a Russian, you know, living in your home as a foreign exchange student. No, because they have a job to do. They're going to go and send information back. So I strongly agree with you that I don't think our colleges and universities at this point should have these Confucius Institutes. And if they do it, I think that really from a national security perspective, we need to go in and look at exactly what they're doing and how they're doing it and see if it's a threat to us, because I think that at this point it's doing more
harm. I think it's an important distinction that the opportunity here is hopefully eventually the people of China can rise up against Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party tyrants. And you mentioned Taiwan. The three T's you are not allowed to mention in China at all are Taiwan, Tibet, and Tiananmen Square. You mentioned that you will be put in one of their camps out in the far west of their country. And so I think the opportunity here is eventually a grassroots, you know, hopefully peaceful revolution against the Chinese Communist Party, of which the Hong Kong protesters tried to do, and they were totally stamped out. That will never happen if they think that our Western countries are in bed with the Chinese Communist Party. Xi Jinping, when he stays up late at night, what really worries him and bothers him the most is a potential revolt amongst his own citizenry rising up against the power grab that he has put upon his people. I want to commend you for something, and I have not heard you comment on it yet, but I want to commend you for leaving the board of Boeing after they sought public and federal assistance. That was a very courageous move of yours, and I know you issued a statement about it saying, I could not in good faith continue to be on the board because they sought federal assistance. Can you care to comment on that? I thought that was you putting principle over expediency, and I want to thank you for that. I'd love to get your comments on that.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, I absolutely love Boeing. It's a company that I love. It's a company that I, you know, through most of the last 10 years helped nurture. We helped put a plant in South Carolina. We helped grow it. The workers are way above par, fantastic building airplanes. You know, it's what you love when it comes to manufacturing and production in America. And so when they asked me to be on the board, it was a great opportunity to partner with them again. But, you know, unfortunately, when this whole situation happened, they wanted to go to government to get a bailout. And it's something I've always disagreed with. I mean, I just don't believe in bailouts. I'm very skeptical of stimulus packages. But more than that, I knew that they had the means to continue without a bailout. That was the thing, is I think that there are a lot of small businesses who needed help. There are a lot of small businesses that are hurting. It's not companies like Boeing that are supposed to be getting those. You can't pick winners and losers. You can't pick one industry over another. And so I told them that I disagreed with it. It was clear they were still going to continue to go in that direction. And, you know, I have to be able to sleep at night.
Well, I don't think you got enough credit for that. So thank you for doing that, because that is that's really practicing what you preach. So the last question I'll ask is this, is we have a lot of young conservatives listening to this podcast. And, you know, I won't put you on the spot about what the future holds, because a lot of people are saying, oh, who's going to be in 2024? It's like everyone's always looking over the horizon. I try to keep people focused on the immediate. But more particularly, you have been the target of left-wing attacks nonstop. You have two amazing kids that, of course, you know, have to deal with a lot of unfair treatment because of the leadership that you exhibit. For young people that are graduating college or that have to continually kind of be victim to the leftist mob, what advice do you have as someone that has had to be a governor of a state and make tough decisions and literally stare America's enemies in the face and continue to fight for our country? What are some of the lessons and takeaways of standing up against the left and being able to, you know, essentially claim victory for young people that look to you for inspiration as and as a role model?
Well, I think the first thing is have confidence. Know that you've earned the right to be in the room. You've earned the right to have a voice, and you should use it. The second thing is push through the fear. Whenever you feel that nervous feeling, whenever you have that tendency to want to step back, push through that fear, because when you push through that fear, you find out you're so much stronger on the other side. And, you know, at the end of the day, I strongly believe trust your gut. And if you do that, it will never fail you. You know, going working at the UN, it's not for the faint at heart, but I believe in America. And I believe in the strength of America. And I wasn't going to let anyone bully us into any sort of situation. Being governor of South Carolina, we face challenges every day. But at the end of the day, you have to, you know the information, make sure that you communicate properly what you believe, why you believe it, and why you think you should move in a certain direction, and then fight for it. You know, so I think that there's a lot that the country is going in a direction of it's only going to get more innovative, more creative, more opportunities. And so while we've even seen this crisis here, there's a lot of opportunities for kids coming out of college, and there's a lot of opportunities to use the power of your voice. And that's what I hope that everyone does. It doesn't mean life is easy, but if you don't push through that fear, you never know what life could have been. And so it's a lot more fun.
It's
when
well
you
put,
do that.
And you fought for our country, and I did not envy you when you were there fighting up against a lot of people that did not have America's best interests at heart. So again, the website is stopcommunistchina.com.
stopcommunistchina.com. You know, we started with 100,000 people as the goal. We're well over 235,000 now. We're going to keep on going, and we're really going to send a message to Congress.
I love
to
it.
Get to
well,
work.
Ambassador, thank you for your leadership, and stay safe. We'd love to have you back again soon, and thank you for your leadership.
Thanks, Charlie. So proud thank of you. Keep up the great work.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. If you're able to donate a little bit of money, if you're an adult, that helps us a lot. If you're a student that wants to get involved, start a chapter. tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Start a chapter and attend an event in the upcoming future and get involved with Turning Point USA. Make sure you are subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit that subscribe button, and make sure those 5-star reviews. We want to see a 5-star review tsunami, and you can help make that happen. Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. It comes straight to me first and then to our team, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Till next time, God bless.